And so we'll get started in the Word of God. Now, you'll remember that we're in a study of the types of the Holy Spirit as we've been studying. And this is going to, not tonight, but probably maybe next Wednesday night, maybe the Wednesday after that, we're going to probably bring our study, this study anyway, of the Holy Spirit to a conclusion. It may take two or three, but probably maybe next time. But we're going to start another study after that. But we could go on and on and on in studying the Holy Spirit. There's a lot more that could be said, and maybe we'll pick it up down the road a little bit. We're going to kind of change topics for a little bit on Wednesday nights, but that's then, not now. So let's get to where we are now, and we've already studied the types. By the way, let me mention this, and I think you probably already know it without any doubt, but the types, when we talk about a type of the Holy Spirit, or a type of Christ, or a type of God, the types are not the standards or not the doctrine, okay? So when we talk about the types of the Holy Spirit, because we've already studied what we've studied, the wind, the Holy Spirit is like wind, or wind is like the Holy Spirit. Fire is like the Holy Spirit. Oil is like the Holy Spirit. I think the last one we did was water. Last Wednesday night is like the Holy Spirit, and I apologize for that. But when we talk about those types are not the doctrinal standards. Rather, they are the applications, or they are illustrations of what that doctrinal standard is. When it's talking about a type of the Holy Spirit being a dove, is what we're going to talk about tonight, it doesn't mean that when you see a dove, all right, that stands for the Holy Spirit, okay? You may raise doves, or you may like to not raise them, but bring them down, all right? And maybe if at the end of maybe a 12-gauge or a 410 or something like that, and take them into the ministry if you're in the ministry. But however it is, that is not the Holy Spirit. And it's not even a close facsimile of the Holy Spirit. But in some ways, it is a type of the Holy Spirit. And the reason for that we find the types that are in the Bible, and I think God gives us those, like in the tabernacle, we talked about the laver and the brazen altar and the altar of incense. Those are all types of something that has to do with Christ. And so as we look at the type of the Holy Spirit, or the dove being a type of the Holy Spirit, it is obviously not the Holy Spirit, and we don't need to worship that particular type in and of itself, like water, or the dove, or fire, or anything like that. If we do that, we've succumbed to what John Denver did. Some of you remember him, and a pantheist, a stated pantheist, and just believed God was everything. Everything was God, whether it's a tree or a rock or whatever. And so that's not what we're about. But what it does is kind of like a window in a building. I may have used this illustration at the first. But I can tell if a building is residential or commercial. Have I already done that in here? Okay, I haven't. I can tell when I'm going down the road, I can probably tell, oh, that's a residential building. That's where somebody lives in that building. Okay? Or, no. I can tell by the construction of it, that would have to be a very different kind of a family or a very large family to live in that kind of a structure. Okay? But if there's no windows in that building, I really don't know what is involved in the building. But if there are windows, let's say in a house, I can go up to that window. And it doesn't change the structure of the house at all. But I can look in the window and say, oh, this is the dining room. Oh, and I can see from here or another window, I can see a hall and I can see two doors on that side. I can see two doors on this side. Well, certainly there must be a restroom in there. There's probably some bedrooms or maybe a study. But those are all different rooms in the house. Now, being able to look through the window does not change the structure of the house at all, but rather it gives me a better understanding of what all is involved in the house. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's kind of the way types are, typology in the Word of God. Now, I go into that because it's like numerology. There are those who say number one is not just 1 + 1 = 2. Number one is 2 < 3, and 3 in the Bible is 4 < 7. 7 is the number of perfection, so 3 is not half of perfection because it doesn't quite meet there. But what it means, and it just, I mean, it can go on and on and on and on. Now, are there certain numbers that appear kind of to be like that? Yes, and 7 is kind of one of those numbers. And some others as well. But there are good people. They're not bad. They're studying their Bible, and so I'm glad for that. But instead of really diving into the doctrine, they get involved in the mystery, if I could put it that way, of what the numbers mean or what all are the types. And instead of getting into, now, one last preface, and I'll say this. There are many, and of course I teach at an Ambassador Baptist College, but you could go to Bob Jones, you could go to Pensacola, you could go to this school, that school, the other school, Maranatha. Just don't tell Dr. Lucan at Ambassador I recommended Maranatha, all right? There's a rivalry. There's two of the professors from Maranatha, Dr. Luther and Dr. Lucan, and I called him Dr. Luther. Oh, he would enjoy that. But Dr. Spencer, both from Maranatha, and Brother Ream and myself are from Bob Jones, and so there's always a kind of a rivalry, and we talk about the rapture, and we'll wave to you as we go by or something like that. But the point is that there are those that will, in various doctrines, they will study about the Bible. They will study, they'll study Bray. Well, for what that's worth. They'll study Matthew Henry. They'll study this individual and that individual, and I got to know what that text means. And they'll study this one and that one and this one and that one and this one and that one without really studying the text itself. And that's what I'm talking about. When we're talking about typology, it is for us, when we're talking about the dove tonight, and it's an interesting study. But I hope it'll just whet your appetite, not so much that the Holy Spirit is like a dove, or a dove is like the Holy Spirit. But rather we see, what is a dove like? A dove is, this is how the characteristics of a dove. Now that I know those characteristics, I'm going to dive into the Word of God and find out what the Word of God says. Well, now, sometimes he's not like a dove. Okay, sometimes he's like a fire. Sometimes he's like this, and sometimes he's like that. So if I get so involved in the types, and that's, maybe I'm giving this more attention than was necessary, but I just want to make sure that why you're here tonight is to be a student of the Word. Amen? And that's what we want to do. So with all that in mind, it's time. We don't have time left, so let's, no, we do. All right, let's go to the dove, all right? Number one is all four Gospels represent the dove. We're not going to take time to look them up, but all four Gospels, there's not a lot of things. There are several things that all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark was primarily written by Mark, but it was primarily the ministry of Peter. And so most believe that as you read Mark, a lot of that is what Peter gave to Mark, or Mark, as he traveled with Peter, was around Peter, that he took this as being from the Lord. All right, so all four Gospels. Now, if you'll take your Bible with me, please. All right, and let's, if you'll go to the book of Luke. Luke? I did take some medicine. All right. So if you'll turn in your Old Testament to Galatians. No, I'm teasing about the Old Testament, all right? Didn't take that much medicine, all right. But I think the medicine's worn off. Galatians, if you will, to a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm in Kings. All right, let me get to Galatians. In a very familiar passage, Galatians chapter 5. And of course, that's dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. Now, how many of you have seen newsreels of the kamikazes? Have you? Okay. As jets would come in, maybe in Vietnam or someplace else, where they would come in, but kamikaze comes to the mind, where, of course, they were, I think they were suicidal, weren't they? Suicidal missions. Okay, so we don't want to take it quite that far. All right, but let's just say that the jet is coming in and it's got a payload of bombs. And they're going to just lay out those bombs one after another, okay? So they don't just come in and they just don't, like in a glider. Okay? They don't do that. Generally, they start at an altitude, and then when it's time, when they have their prospect or their target in sight or on the radar, they know that they're going to come in high, go down fast, deliver the payload of the bombs, and then ascend just as fast as they can to try to miss any of the enemy fire that's going to come after them. All right? So when we think about the giving of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives with someone who is walking after the Spirit, and it says, notice in verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is, okay, why don't we read it together? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I love that last phrase. I've quoted it a number of times since I've been here because it's just wonderful. But now think of this, if you will, please. When you and I receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, how long does it take for us to receive the Holy Spirit in our hearts? Instantaneous, you're right. Okay, it's not a process where he's coming down. No. Okay. Either a person is deceased or they're alive, one or the other. There's nothing in between the two. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, it is an instantaneous quickening. Would you agree with that? From death to life. Okay? He is the quickening Spirit. He is the one who takes us from death unto life. Okay? Now let me ask you a question. At the moment an individual is saved, and from then on, do they have the qualities of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Against such there is no law. What do you think? Are they filled with the Holy Spirit their entire life? Okay, I'm kind of getting mixed things. All right? And I understand why you would give both answers. I understand that. Okay? But the truth of the matter, he says, walk after the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, let me ask you a question. It's got a kind of an obvious answer, I think. And that is, if I'm walking after the flesh away from the will of God, is God going to be blessing my life? No. He's going to be chastening me. He's going to be calling me. He's going to be convicting me. Okay, so if I'm not walking after the Spirit but after the flesh, do I still have the Spirit in my heart? Yes or no? Yes, and I think that's why the answer with some was yes. He's with you all the time. Okay, and I agree with that. However, when it says here, but the fruit of the Spirit, notice it says, verse 22. Now, before we get there, verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And you see, he gives about a dozen of them there. Maybe not quite. But he talks about all kinds of different ways that you're going to know if you're walking after the flesh. But you'll notice, as we've referenced before, when you get to do such things or not, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, into verse 21. Now verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit... Now, let's go back to verse number 16. This I say then, he wrote, walk in the Spirit, and ye what? Shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Very well done. Okay? So, he is setting a marker down that you and I, if we will walk after the Holy Spirit, he says, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Not going to happen. You're not going to do it. Because the Holy Spirit is never going to lead you in the direction of the flesh. And he says, just so you know, if you're walking after the flesh or after the Spirit, he tells us the things about the flesh. Verse 22, we've talked about it before. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Now, the question at hand is this. Do we always know that we are, do we always sense that we have the peace that passeth understanding? What do you think? No. Do we always sense that indwelling love of the Holy Spirit to its fullness? No. Sometimes he lets us walk in faith. What about joy? Joy. In other words, here's my point. Is that even though we've been quickened by the Holy Spirit, made alive, and that's forever. We'll see that with the earnest, we'll see it with sealing and all of that. But we have the Holy Spirit who's in our hearts and lives, and he quickens us, but he doesn't come like that jet, not to give a payload of armament, but of bombs, but the Holy Spirit doesn't come, and he doesn't come as Miss Helen, right? Is that right? All right. He doesn't come upon Miss Helen and say, all right, boom, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and she's got it. And for the rest of her life, it's that way. Doesn't happen that way, does it? But as my dear sister is walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, the Bible says that she will enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I grew up in Phoenix primarily. They have a lot of orange orchards. They have a lot of grapefruit orchards. They have a lot of all kinds of orchards. And it gets really, really, really noisy when it is fruit time. When those orange trees, I don't know if you know this or not. How many of you grew up out west? Anybody? Okay. Well, you've probably experienced it then. If you're walking down the street and the oranges are about to bud out, when they bud, they go bang. And if a tree has maybe 50 buds on it, it sounds like a machine gun. Bang, 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 bang. And if you got 1,000 trees, it's like a sonic boom. Is that the way it happens? No. Okay. Say, oh, we got the wrong preacher. Send this guy back to Arizona. All right? No! No. When the orange pops out, when the grapefruit, the kumquat, whatever it was, we avocados, it's kind of like, avocados are kind of like, a thorn bush, you know, kind of like that. So we won't talk about avocados. But when the oranges or the grapefruits or whatever they are, when they come out, what kind of noise do they make? They don't. It's gentle, isn't it? Okay. You say, you've spent a lot of time on this. Yes, I have, and here's the reason. In my opinion, for what it's worth, very few Christians recognize when the Holy Spirit is delivering special delivery for saints of God who truly love Him, but they're not paying attention. They're walking after the Spirit, and they get into settings, and those settings are troublesome. And instead of looking around for evidences that what God is doing when He sends that special thing, and I've talked about it before as well, but He sends that special note, or He answers that prayer, or whatever it is, instead of listening to that and saying, yes, that must be special delivery, that joy in a setting where joy a lot of times would be absent from that, or love would be absent from that, or peace would be absent from that, or long suffering. And you find, if you can follow this, you can find that influence leading you into that direction of being long suffering, when normally it would not be the case. Or love, or gentleness, or goodness, or peace. So the love that we understand, all of these fruit of the Spirit, as you and I understand it, think of it like this. Not the kamikaze kind of a landing, or not even a landing, but just a drop zone. Boom! Okay? Not that at all. but rather the type of the Holy Spirit that the dove doesn't go zoom, zoom, zoom. Now they're fast, and generally doves fly in a straight line. Okay, they're fast and they fly in a straight line. I know that because a fellow named Kirsten, I can't think of his first name, his last name, but he was determined to teach me how to shoot doves. So we went out, and I'm not a skilled hunter. If I had to depend on that, I would go hungry for a long time. He'd go boom, and choom, boom, choom, boom, choom. I used about a box and a half of shells, and he said, well, there's some cowbirds over there. Why don't you start with that? And because they're more like, dum, ba, dum, ba, dum, dum. Now, here's my point, is I'm asking you, when was the last time that you gave credit to the Holy Spirit when he very gently came in for a soft landing and reminded you what you're going through is difficult, but that's okay. And not only just in the quotations from the Word of God, but also there was this evidence that, oh wait, that was nice. Well, instead of just saying that was nice, just say, you know what? That drew my heart to the Lord. When that happened, I thought about the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I believe if you'll put me to the test on that, you're going to find that in the valley of the shadow of death, or in the opportunities that you have that are great and grandiose, as you would look at them and say, I'm not sufficient for that. And yet, as you begin to look around because you sense the Holy Spirit leading you in that direction, you're going to begin to notice some things just coming out of the blue, some thoughts that come in of scriptures that he brings to your mind that you hadn't even been trying to think about. Or a neighbor giving a call, or a church member giving a call, or whatever it is. And that's really what I wanted to just make sure that I have it in my mind as you have it in yours. John chapter 1, let's see. Let's don't worry about that. It was a confirmation to John the Baptist that the Lord was the Christ, as well as those who were with him. Behold, the Lamb of God, as John said. But and I'll not ask you to turn there, but who would look up Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17 for me? Would somebody do that for me, please? Proverbs 19, verse 17. Somebody have that? Brother Carlo, if you would, please. Okay. So what does that have to do with a dove? Okay, good question. In Leviticus chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, the dove and pigeons were also, the family was required to bring a lamb for their sins and so forth. But if they could not afford a lamb, if they couldn't afford another critter, okay? Can't think of the term. But anyway, it's not bullock. Is that a term? No. It is. Okay, all right. Kick in, medicine, I need you, all right? All right, so bullock just didn't sound right. That sounded more like a fortress. But if they couldn't afford a bullock, or they couldn't afford a lamb, then it was Moses was given by God that they could bring a dove. And if they couldn't afford a dove, they could perhaps trap a pigeon. In other words, what God was doing was giving them in a gentle way. He didn't say, and he could have. He didn't give Moses any, I mean, he just wait a minute, here's what I want. But when you and I stop and think about, he could have mandated, you work enough to where you have the right sacrifice. And he made an exception for those who were hurting. And he says in Proverbs, do you still have that, brother? Listen to what he says about gentleness there, about the way we go about things.
He that hath pity upon the poor,
Okay? Now, those are two different subjects, and I don't mean to just mix them up inappropriately. You're probably not made like I am, but sometimes as I'm driving down the road or whatever, and I just, you know, I kind of, well, get a job. Now, sometimes that is the appropriate. In other words, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat, right? Right. So a man's job is to eat. But sometimes there's extenuating circumstances. And it may be a brother or sister in Christ. It may be an opportunity to give out the gospel. And God says, basically, when you lend to the poor, or when you, excuse me, when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Because God says he's going to repay. Now, it doesn't mean we just walk down the street and empty our pockets and our bank account. It doesn't mean that at all. But what it means is, in a gentle way, that we are to be, in that same way the Holy Spirit deals with us, that we can follow God's representative there as being gentle in our dealings with others. All right. We won't go into a lot more detail on that, but the idea there is gentle. Okay? Now, we've already looked at wind, fire, oil, water, the dove. Let's try to look at one more, and I think you know it pretty easily or pretty well. And it's earnest. Let's see. Who would look up Ephesians 1, 13 and 14? Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Who will do that for me? Okay, yes, sir. All right. How about 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22? 2 Corinthians 1, 21, 22. Okay. And let's see. Would you read let's see, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5. Would you do that for me, Miss Marla? Okay. And then Romans 8, 23. Who would do Romans 8, 23? Okay, right there. All right. Now, we're going to talk about that of the earnest. When you think about earnest money, and we're just going through that. Matter of fact, today is the 16th, right? 16th. All right. If the family that is buying our house next Wednesday, in the closing of it next Wednesday, if they back out, it's either last night or tonight. I don't remember which. But if they back out, then they're going to lose about $5,000. Okay? Now, they already had to give us $2,500. And so that was ours regardless. But they had until the 16th to, they could, if they had a legitimate reason, so to speak, regardless what the reason is, after the 16th, it's called earnest money or a down payment, so forth, but an earnest money. It's showing the ambition that this is the beginning of what is to come. Does that make sense? This is the beginning of what is to come, all right? So let's see, the first one was, I'll get back down to it here, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. I think it's Brother Chris.
In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory.
Okay, very good. So after you believed, you received the earnest, all right? Let's see, who has 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22? Yes, sir.
Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our heart.
Aren't you glad for that? After you believe, you're sealed and he's given us the earnest of the Holy Spirit. Sister, I believe you have Romans 5, 5. Would you read that for us, please? Please. Romans 5, 5. Yeah, if you want to help her. I tell you what, while she's doing that, why don't we skedoodle right on over to Romans 8, 23. Who has that? Romans 8, 23. Brother Allen? Very good. All right, so when we listen to Brother Allen and what he's read, Brother Allen, if you're saved, are you on your way to heaven? Okay, very good. Everybody say amen or no? Amen. When you get saved, you're on your way to heaven. How many of you have already been to heaven? None. So are you sealed by the Holy Spirit? Yes. Okay. Has he given you the Holy Spirit when you got saved? Yes. Yes. But we still groan, don't we? But as we're groaning, he says, even the earth itself is groaning, so to speak, awaiting redemption, waiting for Jesus to come back, have a new heaven, a new earth. So even while we are in this world and we know what is yet to come, and we're groaning because we're not home yet, we're not in heaven yet, yet we still have the assurance that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And because we know that we have the Holy Spirit, because he convicts us when we're in sin, he encourages, he's called our comforter, we have all that going on, it's like, all right, well, I can get online, if I don't mess it up, and I get into the bank account, and I can see where they deposited that earnest money back several weeks ago, and I can, and there's the deposit. Okay, so that deposit, and after this, you know, if it goes through, and so I can look at that, those things are telling me, we're not there yet, and I'm in the process of moving, and I'm groaning as I'm in the process of moving, and so is Becky, as you have been when you were moving, but I still have, there's a stopping point. Friday evening, my brother back here is bringing his truck, and I got folks coming, a few of them coming from the college, hopefully some from the church there at Maranatha, and they're going to load that fella, not him, but they're going to load the truck, and when they do, guess what? There's going to be a movement towards here, and by next Wednesday, the transaction will be complete. Groaning now? Yes. But I have in hand, well, not in hand, but I have in the bank that's in our account, I have the earnest of saying the rest is coming. All right? So even though we may be groaning, let's don't spend so much energy groaning as we do listening to the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth that says the best is yet to come. Okay? All right, sister, did you find it? Okay. Would you help us with it? Very good. All right. So as she's helped us to see that we have the first fruits of the Spirit, okay, we have those that just like everything else we've been saying, and I don't want to just repeat it, but it's a different stanza of the same song, if we could put it that way, just giving that much additional emphasis that what we have, because we have the Holy Spirit, he is the earnest in this particular text, as our sister helped us to understand. It is the first fruit. It's a down payment. It is to say, you already have part of what is yet to come. Right now, you have the member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, abiding with you. But it won't be so long until you'll be in the very presence of God, that you'll be able to worship, even as the angels do in heaven now. And as the brethren who are already there now, there's a coming a day when you're the first fruit is going to be in very, very present, in fact, as with us. And I didn't say that well, but let me step back and say it again, that when we're in heaven, it'll be all fulfilled. Amen? Every bit of it. And we'll see him, we'll be with God. They that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. And there we'll understand it. We don't understand it now. Surely we don't understand. It's a mystery. Even as the church was a mystery to those in the Old Testament prophets who were writing about this is going to happen and this is going to happen. I wonder what that means. Okay, Lord, I'll keep writing. I don't understand it. I'll keep writing. I don't understand it. Someday somebody will understand it. Well, when Jesus came and the apostles started writing and the Holy Spirit was given and the apostles started writing, and now we understand about this institution this organism called the New Testament church, this living organism. Praise the Lord for that. All right. So we'll stop with that and go to one more. Well, let's just introduce it. Can we do that? And that is the seal. And we've already looked at it somewhat. We've already read some of the passages about it. No, it's not. We've already done that. No, let's go ahead and do that. Let's do that. The seal. Ephesians 1:13. Let's all turn there. Would you do that with me, please? Ephesians 1:13. This is a good text. Well, they all are. This is a good one dealing with the Holy Spirit in us. Ephesians 1:13. This is dealing with the seal. Okay, we talked about that along with the earnest. But here we have the seal in essence. All right, Ephesians 1:13. Now you'll remember verses 1 through 12, he's going into a lot of the things that are yet to come. He talks about the dispensation that they're presently in, that the dispensation that God had given the Apostle Paul, that God called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. But he talked about their inheritance to come. He talked about some other things. Now let's look at verse 13. Notice the progression here, okay, in verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, okay? So what came first, trusting or the word of truth? Word of truth, because he uses the word after, okay? In whom ye also trusted after that ye'd heard the word of truth. Now what about the word of truth? He calls it the gospel, the good news of your salvation. All right, so here we go. They've heard it. They trusted it. Okay, it seems credible. It is credible. Okay? In whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the progression is that they heard the word of God, they trusted that it was credible testimony. Okay? Then they believed on Christ, because there's many who have heard the word of God. Maybe it was a gospel tract. Maybe it was a live stream broadcast. Maybe it was a TV broadcast. Whatever it was, a relative giving a personal testimony. So they'd heard the word of God, and they also gave it the credibility. Well, sure, I believe the Bible. There's a lot of people who believe the Bible, but do not believe in Christ. In other words, this not become a personal relationship. Does that make sense? Okay, so you see the progression here. They heard the word of God. They trusted. It was this is credible. Scientifically accurate. Historically accurate. You put it to any discipline or any test, and it's accurate. So, it's a credible book. Okay? But then they believed. Okay, I understand that. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, verse 13, Romans chapter 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So heard, trusted, believed, and then let's look at the last of it. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until, don't you like that word, until? Until the redemption of the what? That's it. That's it. I don't see much of it anymore. Maybe it's still around. Do they still have a layaway plan around in any stores? Not a lot? Okay. Years ago, I wanted to learn to hunt. And so, I forget where I bought it, but they had a special on Remington rifles. This was a Remington's 30-06 700 BDL. It's a nice gun, beautiful stock and everything. And the price of it was $120. Well, it might have been $1,000 to me, because I didn't have $120. I didn't have probably $50. Okay? But I knew I wanted to learn how to hunt. We had done some shooting when I was a boy in Arizona and all of that, and I'd never done any deer hunting or anything, so I thought, this would be a good thing. So, it may have been October, November. They had this this layaway plan, Christmas special, and for so many days you could buy this rifle for $120. So I put it on layaway plan. Well, I was a youth pastor and I made a lot of money. And so I laid it away. And when I lay something away, I lay it away. So it was about August of the next year. And so I go up and I said, I think I have. And I made payments, $5 at a time, $10 at a time, whatever it was. And so I would go in and I say, I've got a rifle on layaway and here's my $10. And I could not wait until I could make that final payment. What I didn't realize is because it was a Christmas special, they wrapped it in Christmas wrapping. So I'm going in August, whenever it was, September, July, whenever it was. I go in and I say, I have a Remington 700 BDL rifle and it's on layaway and here is my last payment. And when I did, the guy, you know, you go through those double doors, you know, they have to go find it somewhere. And they come out, it's got dust all over it. And he comes out and he's laughing. And I'm thinking, what did he do to my rifle? He's laughing. And he says, man, when you lay something away, you really lay it away, don't you? And I, you know, it was a little embarrassing. I didn't know it was going to be in Christmas wrapping. Here's my point. Boy, did I love that rifle. Oh, that was a good rifle. That was a good rifle. I was so proud of it. But you know what? The whole time it was in layaway, it was mine. Yeah, it was a little different. It's not a true analogy all the way through. But it had my name on it. It did. Didn't have Joe Smith or Henry Schnortsky or whatever the name was. It had Randy Bray, not Randall, because when my mother used that, I was in trouble. So I never use that unless it's a document I have to. All right. But when he came out, and my name was on it, Randy Bray. On the receipt, paid in full. When you and I trusted Christ as our Savior, it already has written on our lives, paid in full. But it was not Randy Bray's incremental payment. As a matter of fact, it wasn't even the Savior's incremental payment. That payment was designed before the world began. But when Jesus cried out from the cross, Tetelestai, it is finished. It is finished. The plan was completely paid. And for you and me, it's not on a layaway plan. It's an offer that's offered every day around the world. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I have the assurance of knowing that at the moment I got saved, he became the down payment, the earnest of my inheritance. That the only reason one day when I close my eyes in death, and I see Jesus, the only reason it's been kept is not because of the quality of Randy Bray's faith. My faith wavers from time to time. It's not in the quality of my persona, quality of my intellect, which is lacking, but it's everything about the Savior. And when he cried, "It is finished," there was nothing yet to be done. Nothing yet to be done. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is given to us as the earnest to say the price has already been paid. And I'm there just like you had the little thing that showed $120, now $110, now $108, now $100 and whatever it was, down to $10, paid in full. Mine was paid in full. But the incremental part is the moment I accepted Christ, I became a child of God. But it may be 5 days later I go to see him face to face. It may be 20 years later I may go see him face to face. It may be 80 years later I go see him face to face. But his name is on me. My name is in the book of life. And praise God, to be absent from the body is to be present with him. But until then, I have the Holy Spirit in my heart and life. I don't know the settings in life that you'll go through the rest of this week. I know some folks that are going through some really, really difficult times right now. Right now. Just really hard. And yet they belong to the Lord. And I can't get inside their hearts and bring that calmness that's the fruit of the Spirit that doesn't come like the zoom, there it is. ah, you see it, I'm going to push it on you. But rather, love in a setting that's not natural to love is going to be there. Joy, peace, long-suffering. And my encouragement to you, as I required of my heart, is to understand, I'm already sealed by the Holy Spirit. I already have the first fruits of everything is because He is the first fruit of our salvation as far as what we have. But when I'm going through a difficult time, my first response doesn't need to be defensive. It needs to be offensive. It doesn't need to be like somebody guarding a goal and they're always afraid that, well, I don't know what's going to happen here and I got to block this and I got to... No, but go after it and say, wait a minute, I'm going through a hard time and I know, as best as I know, I'm walking after the Spirit, not after flesh. So Holy Spirit, I'm going to be watching for little memos to say I love you in settings that are unnatural. Gentleness, when I want to put on a firm hand. Kindness, long-suffering, when I don't want to be. And yet there's something in me moving me in that direction. And it's a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. I'll stop there. I was going to give you another illustration, but I'll stop. Okay? All right. Oh. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine living in the Old Testament times? Knowing that the Hittites and the Hivites and the Amorites are all around you. Knowing that, and you didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. What a joy you and I have of having the Holy Spirit. All right.